By faith right now, let's give the Lord a victory shout. Hallelujah to the Lord. Do you have a shout to the Lord? We love Jesus, don't we? Hallelujah. Well, we've got a lot to shout about. And I'm so excited about sharing with you. This is actually wrapping up a series that I started apparently 9 weeks ago, because this is part 9. Wow, time flies when you're having so much fun. And but really and truly, this is so exciting because I know this is 2021, but if you're listening to this in the future, if the rapture's taking place and I'm already in heaven and it's still on the internet and you're listening to this, it applies to your year. Because Jesus is the one that makes it so. Amen? And so, but just keep those cards and letters and hit that Give Now button anyway, even if the rapture's taking place. Somebody may be here to take that. Thank you for your giving. Thanks for helping us help people. That's what we're about. Amen. So let's finish up this series. I think the Lord shortened it this morning. And so, and all the people said, amen. See, now there's faith in the house, see? Okay, about 3 o'clock this morning, the Lord shortened it for you. But we've got Resurrection Sunday next Sunday. I encourage you to invite people to tune in, have a watch party, do something. Let's bring people to Jesus. We're going to have a Jesus message for people that need Jesus. And that's everybody. If you're a believer or a non-believer, this message next week, Resurrection Sunday, will be something for you to celebrate. And so I'm encouraging you, man, let's tune in. We want to honor the Lord next Sunday. You cause people to tune in. You share the address with them and get them to tune in. You're honoring the Lord, and the Lord will honor you. You cannot honor him. Amen? Okay, let's look at the end of this series. I've had so much fun with it. Thank you for your patience through it. Let's look at, this is how 2021 can be your best year ever in your life because of who Jesus is and because of what he's promised, what he says and what he does and what he wants to do for you. I want to tell you, will you let him? Well, I want to tell you, one of the keys is to follow our shepherd. We've talked about Psalm 23. We're going to look at Proverbs 13:12 just to kick off here. And the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And then it says, but when the desire is fulfilled, it's a tree of life. Now, when hope is deferred, it means that hope has been postponed. It means that hope's been delayed a long time. And it may not seem long for you, but for the person that's... you know, it seems longer, doesn't it? And so this is what it's saying, though, is that, you know, when hope takes a long time to receive, it has a danger of getting weak and of being prolonged to drawn out, or it actually means to drag along. In other words, hope becomes a burden when the expectation of what God's going to do has gone. And so we have some responsibility here. Are you interested in finding out how to heal a deferred heart, a heart that's sick, or a heart that's weak? Because I want to tell you, when hope is deferred, it'll make your heart sick, and it'll make you weak. And I'm going to share a little word with you about your heart being sick and being weak. And it's the picture that I got, I believe, from the Lord, is that, you know, you can be very healthy, you can be very strong, you can be all about your business, and you can have a wave of nausea hit you, and it'll make a strong man weak. Even though you may have had great plans for the day, great plans for the weekend, if you get hit with nausea, it can put the brakes on in your life. That's what deferred hope does to a person. It causes a nausea to take place. And the heart gets weak, and the heart gets sick, even though you had great plans and wanted to do great things. It puts a pause. But look at the opposite of this. When the desire is fulfilled, and this is, I want to tell you something. God's will is for your desire to be fulfilled. Okay? What he loves to do is to give you the desires of your heart. That's the heartbeat of God. And what's beautiful is when you surrender your heart to him, that he's able to take your heart and it becomes more and more like his heart, and your desires are his desires. His desires become your desires. And I want to tell you, you say, well, I want, no. I'm sharing with you, God's desires for you are so much bigger than you can dream. They're bigger than your desires. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what's best. Let me say it like this. Sounds like an old TV show, but Father knows best. There's just a couple generations laughing at that. The youngins are saying, what? Father knows best. And he wants to bring you his best. And so he loves to fulfill his desire in your life. And so when you look at this, don't think that it's normal and that it's common and that it's supposed to be a situation where everybody's heart is deferred. No. We can get there, but we're not supposed to live there. God's desire, God's will, God's purpose, God's plan is for you to believe and receive his desire in your life. That your dreams come to pass. He's the one that puts the dream seed in you, and he wants it to come to fulfillment. God has big plans for you. He said, I want you to be the head, not the tail. That's pretty good. Oh, come on, just think about it a little bit. But I'm telling you, he said, I want you to be above and not beneath. Hey, how about this? I want you to be the first, not the last. All right? I want to tell you that's God's heart for you. Is anybody interested in this? Well, I want to tell you a deferred heart can make your heart sick and your hope can become a burden. He wants to bless you. He wants to honor you with fulfillment of your desire. And the Bible says it's like a tree of life. Now, a tree of life is a declaration that he has blessed you with great blessings. The picture of the tree, the healthy tree, is a picture of a believer. We see that in Scripture a couple different times. But I'm here to announce to you that not only is it a declaration that you are super blessed, but it also is a picture that it honors the Lord. He's blessed by you being blessed. Anybody that's a parent that loves on your little ones and sees them receive, I want to tell you, it's a blessing to you. And I want to tell you, that's the way Father is. He is super blessed by you being blessed. And I want to tell you something else. Not only is it for you, and not only is it to honor the Lord, but since it's a tree of life, it's a declaration that other people that don't know him, other people that want to be blessed can come and eat of the fruit of your tree and be blessed. And they can taste and see that the Lord is good. And they'll be drawn to him. And so this is the exciting part. And what God wants is for your dream to be fulfilled, for it to be a tree of life, to bless you, to honor the Lord, and that others may taste and see that the Lord is good. Is that great news? That's God's heartbeat. So hope, we've described in this series, is the expectation of God's goodness. The expectation of God's goodness. That's something all of us can do. Like David said, and I shared this in a sermon or so ago, that David told his own soul what to do. He said, soul, why are you downcast? He said, put your hope in God. Get focused on the Lord. I will rejoice. I will give praise. And so I'm telling you, there's something that we got to do. We got to take authority over our soul. We got to be in charge of our emotions. And I want to tell you, when there's deferred hope, it means that this hope's been drawn out over such a long time that our expectation of goodness has become a broken dream. Anybody ever had broken dreams? Thank you. I'm glad I'm preaching at the right place, because that happens in this journey, right? We have broken dreams, and our hope can become a burden, just like the Bible talks about in verse 12, and that burden can become baggage that hinders our journey. Do you understand that? And so we need to know how to have our hope renewed. We need to not be settled or satisfied with deferred hope, okay? Because it'll make you sick and it'll make you weak. Anybody want to live sick and weak? No. The Lord provides strength. And he says that his joy is our strength, and we want to go there. But baggage can hinder your journey. Your expectation can become a disappointment because God hasn't done it yet. Your expectation of His goodness can become an offense. Now, don't look too spiritual at me. You know there's believers out there that are absolutely mad at God because God had an opportunity on their calendar to get it done and get it done then and get it done right, and it didn't happen. And so they absolutely carry a mad at God attitude. Now, they may not say it because they know it doesn't sound right, and somebody might get on to them for saying it, but they condemn themselves. They walk in shame and blame that the enemy puts on them. I want to tell you a little secret, a little trick of the enemy, and you got to understand what I'm saying, because the Bible says the enemy, Satan himself, is the accuser of the brethren. I want to tell you what he does. He will sneak up to you, and he will, with your accent, in your mind, it sounds a little East Texas in mine, but he will speak to you, and he'll put a personal pronoun in there, and he's the one saying it, but he'll say it like you're saying it. And he'll say something like, I'm no good. I don't deserve it. I'll never attain it. I'll never overcome. I'll never be blessed like other people. And he'll say it with a personal pronoun like it sounds like you're saying it. And what's sad is that there's so many believers that will say, oh, that's right. I agree with you. I'll never get there. I'll never, never, never. I just don't deserve it. I'll never attain. The Lord just doesn't love me like he loves other people. And the enemy just standing back and smiling because he just started it and you're finishing it. And so I'm telling you, he's a liar. Okay, and so you got to understand. Let me just go ahead and announce something to you. That's not your thoughts. Okay, now, this is going to set some people free. Are you ready to get set free with this mind game junk that the enemy plays? Not only is it not your thought, listen to me. You're not responsible for those thoughts. Heaven knows where they're from. You know where they're from. And I want to tell you, the Bible says real clearly that we're to take those thoughts, those imaginations that the enemy brings, and we're to bring them to Jesus. We're to submit them to the obedience of Christ. Now, here's where a lot of believers get off track. And this is where a lot of believers run a merry-go-round. You know, merry-go-rounds don't go anywhere. And a lot of believers will get on the merry-go-round, and they'll try and try and try and wrestle and wrestle and wrestle and fight and fight and fight to try to get those thoughts by their obedience, get them whipped by their obedience, and then bring them to Christ. But the Bible says we bring them unto the obedience of Christ. It's not your works. It's by His works. And when you learn to take those thoughts that are not yours from the enemy and you surrender them to the obedience of Christ, to what Christ has already done on the cross, that's where His obedience wins for us. It becomes His battle and not yours. Now, I want to tell you, that's so simple. Hey, look, I meet with people every year that have some emotional, mental struggles. And that's okay. I love to see Jesus touch people. But I will say this to everyone. Hey, when you get those thoughts, they're not yours. They're the enemy's. You're not responsible for them. They're not your thoughts, and you're not responsible for them. They go to Jesus. And it's by His obedience, not yours. It's not your wrestling match. The Lord's already won it on the cross. It's by the obedience on the cross that we have victory. And so when you simply present them and yield them, submit them to Christ, hey, grace comes. Deliverance comes. Victory comes. And do you just practice it one time? No, no, no. You practice it every time. But I want to tell you something. Hey, the enemy can't read your mind. He's just throwing darts in the dark because that's all he knows to do. But I want to tell you, when you refuse and you renounce, and you submit them to the obedience of Christ, I want to tell you, Christ's blood is the winner over the enemy. He's reminded of his defeat by the works of the cross. And I want to tell you, he's defeated, and we have victory because of Christ's victory. Is that good news?
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you, it's simple to do, but you got to use your chooser to do it. Because the tendency of most believers, and I go back and talk to some that I share with, and they'll say, "Oh, Brother Tim, you never said that to me." Oh, yeah, I did. I got the notes written down to prove it, but they don't have ears to hear it. Because they're so focused on themselves, or they're so focused on what I got to do. No. It's what Christ has done. He's our victory. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I want to tell you, this is simple, all right? But I want to tell you, it's got to be practiced. Well, I'm going to have to rush and say something. Can you handle this? You're just as full of God as you desire to be and as you're willing to be. Wow. Man, that's so important. I got to say it again. You're just as full of God as you desire to be and are willing to be. Because I want to tell you, the Bible says that part of the being blessed with all spiritual blessings is that we have the very fullness of God dwelling in us. That comes because Christ comes. The Holy Spirit of God comes and fills us with himself. And I want to tell you, he dwells in us. And so I want to tell you, we can choose and say yes and submit to the fullness of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And he will strengthen us. I want to tell you, we have great compassion for people that struggle because we struggle too. But I want to tell you, I don't have pity toward them. Because Jesus has given us everything that we need to receive his victory. I didn't say achieve. I said receive. Hey, we receive it. We don't achieve it. We receive it. And so there's a big difference in that. And so here we are. We don't have to have a sick, weak heart because the expectation of God's goodness has taken so long. We don't have to have that baggage. Our hope can be refreshed by the Holy Spirit of God. When we put our focus on God and we begin to practice his goodness and focus on his faithfulness, I want to tell you, faith comes when we focus on his faithfulness. Hope comes when we focus on his goodness. When we practice thanksgiving, I want to tell you, hey, grace comes when we center in on the Lord and not on ourselves or on our problem or what hasn't happened. When we focus on him, grace comes. Are you listening? Don't let your hope be deferred. Now, I'm going to say this, and you'll see that it fits. Don't let your heart be troubled. It fits. Hey, saints, that's it. I'm telling you, when a hope is deferred, the heart is troubled. The heart is disappointed, it's sick, and it's weak. It's nauseated because of what hasn't happened. And I want to tell you, we got to put our focus on the Lord, and we need to renew our hope in the Lord. Just like David said, hey, soul, why are you crying for? You're fixing to praise. Get your hope on the Lord. So don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your hope be deferred. If you're dragging baggage into 2021 from 2020, hold it now. Be careful. It's all right to say, oh me, it don't bother me. But if we're bringing baggage into 2021 from 2020, guess what? That can hinder your journey. Well, I want to tell you, the baggage can go away today. All right? It doesn't mean that it won't try to land back in our path tomorrow. But I'm telling you, the very freedom you get from it today is because of what Jesus has done. And what you practice on Sunday, you can practice on Monday. Amen? Can I get a good amen, church? Hey, you may have been believing God to heal your body for months, years, decades. You may have a broken relationship or a family member that's off on the dark side. And you've been believing God for years and years for them to come to Jesus, to come to the light. You may have been trusting God for a job for 6 months. Now, let me tell you what religion says. I hate that some churches say this, but religion says this: well, you just got to pray harder. Really? Pray harder? What do? Louder? He hears good. Longer? Well, Jesus showed us it wasn't long prayers. He actually made fun of long prayers. Okay? So it's not pray harder. Well, you just got to work hard. Really? Oh, so it's by our works that we receive victory. It's by our obedience of the law? Now, wait a minute. We covered that just a sermon or two ago. No, it's not. It's not by our obedience to the law. It's by grace. It's by the message of Jesus, the words of Jesus. It's by grace. It's by what? The works he's already done. And so I don't go with what religion says. Religion will say stuff like this: well, you just don't have enough faith. Well, we've covered that too. Yes, you do. It's not, you don't need bigger faith. You need to exercise what Christ has already given you. You have more than enough faith because you have the faith of Jesus. It's great quality, quantity faith. And Jesus said it doesn't have anything to do with size. I have to say this over and over to Texans. It doesn't have anything to do with size, because he said if it was as small as a mustard seed. Boy, if I threw out a few mustard seeds on the ground, it would take more than strong glasses to find them. But if you have faith even the size of a mustard seed, Jesus said you can tell a mountain to get up and go and it's gone. You can tell a mulberry bush to get up by its roots and take off and it's gone. And so if religion will tell you that it's on you to make it happen. There's even some, I don't know how to say this, I'm trying not to give a bad report on preachers because I love preachers, but there's some classic sermons out there where pastors get so excited in their soul. It doesn't come from the spirit, it comes from the soul. But they motivate and excite people in their soul to go make something happen for God. And I tell you what, they get some of the biggest amens and biggest shouts and biggest offerings. But I want to tell you, that's not God's way. All right? They'll even come out with stuff like this: you just don't love the Lord enough. That's your problem. I do. You don't. That's the way it always works, right? Well, I want to tell you something. It's our relationships based on his love. Our love falters. But I want to tell you, his love is divine, and his love is way more than enough. He has got way more supply of love to cover your mess. And I want to tell you, the more you recognize how much you love, he loves you, hey, it's automatic byproduct the more you love him. I hear people just about everywhere I go, well, brother, just teach me how to love the Lord more. Well, you get to know the Lord's love more. Because the more you get to know his love and you grow in the depths and revelation of the depths of his love, the more that you love him back. Well, amen, Brother Tim. Good preaching, Brother Tim. Well, maybe that should sink in. I thought y'all knew that. Okay, that's a series this year then. We'll go there. Hey, we understand and have compassion for those that are disheartened. If you're disheartened today, you're listening. Don't cut it off. You're listening to the right place. If you're discouraged, we're here for you. If you're depressed, I want to tell you, there's great hope and promise for you. It's easy to get there. We understand it's easy to get there. I got grace news for you. No, I didn't say great. I said grace. Grace news for you. It's good news, almost too good to be true, but it is, and his name's Jesus, and you don't have to stay where you are. You reach out to touch him, he'll touch you. Oh, we've had fun with that this morning already. It's easy. Hey, listen, don't listen to what the enemy says. Don't listen to what your own condemnation of your soul says. It is easy, my friend, to receive a fresh touch of desire. It's easy to receive fresh hope, because it's his will, it's his desire for you, it's his purpose and his plan. He paid for it, he wants it, and when you want what he wants, you get it. Man, that's good. I'd like to chew on that a little more, but we got to move on. Okay, let's look at Matthew chapter 11, and I want you to be encouraged in this. This is how to receive. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus wouldn't tell you to do something and not give you the power or the purpose or the opportunity to do it. He's provided grace for you to respond. You don't have to work up your response by your emotions or by your own strength. You yield. You know how much energy it takes to yield? You just yield. You submit. You surrender. Are you with me? This is what he says, Matthew 11, 28. Come to me. That's it right there. Wow. Stop. It means in your heart you turn toward him and you say, yes, Lord, I've come to you. It doesn't mean that you have to travel to another church, another part of the country, because he's present everywhere all the time. He says, I'm with you. I'm a very present helper to you in time of trouble. And so when he says come to him, it means you turn to him. You come to him. All you who labor and are heavy laden. Now that identifies a lot of people, doesn't it? I'm telling you, how many of us have got burdens? I mean big backpacks on our back. I saw a little picture of one of my little granddaughters going to school for the first day. And I don't know why they do this. She's a little outfit. She's just 4 years old. And she was going to pre-kindergarten, and they had her backpack so full she could hardly walk. She'd get off balance walking, like she was going to fall backwards. Well, I want to tell you, it was a picture to me. That's the way a lot of Christians live. Our backpack is so heavy that we make sounds when we get up. Oh, come on. I got some examples in the building. Okay. Hey, listen. You know what Jesus calls your backpack? He calls it an overburden. It's more than what he designed you to carry. You see this? Are heavy laden and overburdened. And look at what he says. He says, you come to me. You just turn toward me. You yield to me. You submit to me. And he says, I will cause you to rest. Now, you know where this works out? This is shepherd language. I will make you lay down. Well, when I put my little granddaughter to sleep this week, I had to tell her because she kept telling me, let's play this, let's play that, let's go do this. I said, no. We're going to lay down right here. Lay down. I had to make her lay down. Now, both of us were so tired. I'm not in grandkid shape. Both of us were so tired that when she got still, she went to sleep and I did too. Okay, but what I'm telling you, he says in the 23rd Psalm, I will make you lie down in green pastures. Isn't that beautiful? I want to tell you, he knows best. Your shepherd knows how to cause you to receive. You don't have to work out the mystery. Isn't that good news? You don't have to do the spiritual arithmetic. You don't have to do the gymnastics to earn it. He earned it for you, and all he wants you to do is to come to him, and he will cause you, he will cause you, he will cause you to lie down in green pastures. He will cause you to rest. Now, let me tell you something. The rest that he gives, it's better than a nap. The rest that he gives goes deep where no man can touch. Are you enjoying this? I want to tell you, that's your shepherd. He does this and no one else can. But he'll take your heart in the exact situation. I don't care how intimidated you are. I don't care how much anxiety you have, what you're afraid of, what you're concerned about. He will take your heart right where it's at its worst. And he can cause you to have a supernatural, spiritual, deep down rest. Now let me tell you what this word rest means. He says, I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Isn't that great description out of the original language? I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Doesn't that sound like a great shepherd? Well, I want to tell you, what does that do to a heart whose hope's been deferred? Whose heart has been broken, disappointed, offended by what's not happened? By what they were expecting, and they were disappointed and hurt. And I want to tell you what that does to a deferred heart. It causes it to come back alive. It causes it to have ease and relief. And I want to tell you, it causes your soul to be refreshed. You know what we need to do with our hope that's deferred? We need to yield it to the Lord, and we need to let the Lord refresh our hope. That's His will. That's what he died for. You get it every time if you come to him. If you need it every day, a number of times a day, he paid for that. Okay? He's not disappointed when you come. He's glad when you come. He's smiling at you coming. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, I want to tell you, this word yoke is, boy, it's agrarian culture he was speaking to. And in Texas, we pretty well know about this, or at least read it in books. We're in the big concrete city right here. But I want to tell you something. That yoke is fitted on an animal. And usually, you see a lot of times a yoke is on a pair. And when it's on a pair, you know what the farmers will do? They'll take a veteran ox, and they'll put a rookie ox with him. And the veteran ox will teach the young ox what to do. Okay? The farmer doesn't have to do it all. Because the young ox has to learn to get that. If he gets in step, things go a whole lot better. If he's in step with the veteran. Hey, when the veteran turns and he turns, it's a whole lot better. Okay? When the veteran stops and he stops, it's a whole lot better. And I want to tell you, the veteran will teach the rookie on how to walk, on how to operate. And I want to tell you, it makes it a whole lot easier than trying to do it on your own. This is what Jesus is saying. I did not design you to walk through this journey on your own. Stop talking about your strengths. Jesus says, yield your strength and your weaknesses to me. When God sees your weakness, his strength shows up. When you yield your weakness, strength from God comes. That's why he says that Paul said, I glory in my weakness. Y'all brag on your strengths, I glory in my weakness, because in my weakness, God is made strong in me. And so instead of trying to do God's work, man's way, with your own strength and try to live your life like the world lives it out of your own strength, you're going to end up frustrated, depressed, and discouraged, and under deep medication, just like the world is. He designed a better way. He designed a better way. And this is what he is saying. Come to me. I will cause a refreshment and a relief in your souls. And when you come and take my yoke upon you. My yoke is not a prison. My yoke is not a punishment. My yoke is a blessing. And come and learn of me. You see the picture, learn of me? It means that we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to teach me how to walk. I want you to teach me how to receive, because he wants you to receive. And one of the greatest things about the Christian life is learning how to receive what he's already paid for. According to the Bible, he's already paid for everything we need in this life and the next. It's already been paid for. He wants us to learn how to receive. And so he says, learn of me. And this is what he says, I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. In other words, this is what he's saying. I don't think about the world. I don't operate like the world. I'm opposite than the world. The world will manpower you. The world will overrule you. The world will step all over you to get what it wants. Jesus is saying, I'm the opposite of that. I'm not going to whoop you to get it out of you. I'm not going to punish you. You see, a lot of even believers are afraid to surrender to God because they're afraid God's going to give them a whooping. Jesus came to show us that he's a good, good father. He's a great, great father. And that his father, as your father, he knows how to present and give you his best. And that's God's desire for you, is to love on you, not to hurt you. And so this is what Jesus is saying. I'm gentle. Hey, I'm gentle. TLC with you. Okay? And you'll find rest. You know what you do? When you yield to me and you learn of me, you're going to know it's me because you're going to have rest. You're going to find rest. You're going to find what you've needed all these years. Through all the burdens and all the different things that you've tried, just like the world, and it didn't work, it didn't work. Or you tried religion and it didn't work. Or the law and it didn't work. You tried Jesus and he causes you to find rest. He brings you to those still, calm waters, where you drink in the waters of peace. The world can't give you that. And look what he says. I love what the original word brings out on this. It says, you'll find rest. You'll find relief and ease. Listen to this. And refreshment. Oh, come on. Anybody here like to be refreshed in the journey? Jesus said he's your refreshment. Okay? Hey, and not only that, there's a picture here, and I don't quite know the best way to present it, but to say it like this, because everybody likes this word. Hey, Jesus is saying, you come to me, and you yield and learn of me, and I will give you peace on the inside, and I will give you vacation for your soul. Now, come on now. Oh, I expected a big amen there. You know how. Come on, we love vacation. Yeah. That's what Jesus said he is. That word describes that he will be vacation to your soul. Does that sound like a good word? Hey, only Jesus can do that, but Jesus wants to do that. And he loves to refresh and to recreation and to give you a blessed quiet. Now, I want to tell you, you know, the noise factor is a serious factor. I got in from driving about 5 hours right before dark last night, and I was going to go out and sit down there by the little table, by the not full concrete pond. That's another thing I'm praying about. But I want to tell you, I sat down there just to have some quiet moments, man. Been on the road, you know, on the racetrack. Got back, going to have a few moments out there just enjoying the sunset. I love the sunrise. I love the sunset. I just going to enjoy the Lord. And about that time, all the mowers in Irving cranked up right next to me. I tell you, I flashed a little bit. I said out loud, of all the hours in this day, to come out here just a few minutes before dark and mess up my quiet moment. I'm telling you. Alma left, and I left too. My little kitty cat couldn't handle it. I couldn't either. But I want to tell you what Jesus brings for you. He brings, and the word is, in the original, it comes out like a blessed quietness. Is that beautiful? A blessed quietness here. That's healthy for you. That's life for you. Okay? The contentment of being right there with the shepherd and being content in him. Do you see that? And this says, verse 30, for my yoke is wholesome. Now, not only does it bring peace and vacation to the inside of you, he says, my yoke, hey, You do this my way. You yield to me, surrender me. You learn to walk with me, learn of me. And this is what he says. Hey, my yoke is not just good for the inside. It's good for the outside and all around you. My yoke is wholesome. It's useful and it's good. I want to tell you, Jesus has not designed to take advantage of you. He wants to bless you. All right? I met a little Satanist one time in the pharmacy at Walgreens in a nearby city. I'd gone to pick up something for somebody that was staying with me. And when I walked down one of the aisles, a little Satanist was coming down the aisle toward me. And she stopped and kind of got in a certain attack figure, and she growled. Yeah, growled. I smiled. And she said, I know who you are. In this weird voice. And I said, well, I know who you are. I said, Jesus is Lord. And she began to make some other sounds. And she said, my father's better than your father. And I said, no, he's not. Your father's going to use you up. And he's going to destroy you in the process. He doesn't care for you. He's just going to use you and abuse you. And he's going to destroy you. My father loves me. And he's got my best interest at heart. And he is blessing me. And when I said, again, Jesus is Lord, she screamed and took off running. I mean, boy, she looked like a receiver going out for a pass. She circled and took off. I didn't see her again. But I want to tell you, hey, here's the difference. Your God is a great Father, and he's come to bless you. He's come to enrich your life. And it's his desire. As a matter of fact, let me just get through the words here about this. My yoke is wholesome. It means useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing. Do you get that? I want to tell you, these people that try to give testimony and say, the Lord is just beating me up, and the Lord is just pushing me and driving me, I have to interrupt and say, no, he's not. That's not your shepherd. That's a religious something that's not God. Because I want to tell you, God doesn't press you. He doesn't push you. I want to tell you what a shepherd does. That's what a butcher does. That's what butchers do to the sheep. I want to tell you what the shepherd does. He leads. He begins to walk, and he uses his calm, sweet voice to call your name, and him walk, and he calls you to follow. Hey, all this pushing and pressing and testimonies that, you know, God forced me this and no, that's not the Lord. I want to tell you what that word means. Wholesome. Are you ready for some more? Comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. I want to tell you what Jesus, I want to tell you what the will of God will do for your life. It'll make you smile. It's enjoyable. Jesus is enjoyable in the journey. Man, that sounds like a tree that's producing life, doesn't it? And this is what he says, verse 30. My burden is light. So I want to tell you, listen. Here it is. In your journey, and it's easy for it to happen. In your journey, when you find yourself during the week, or on Saturday, or a lot of times on Sunday morning, it seems like, that your burden is so heavy and you're just so tired and I just gotta stay home. I'm just too tired. When you feel that way, guess what? You've been carrying more than Jesus designed you to carry. Well, I just didn't get everything done. Well, you had more planned than Jesus intended you to do. Hey, we're not talking about lazy. There's no room for lazy. But what we're talking about here is a light burden. And so I want to tell you, it happens to me sometimes, especially when I've been counseling all day and trying to minister, because, you know, people want to come to me not because of praise the Lord's, but oh me's, you know, problems. And sometimes, by the time I get through with a number of them, maybe I've kept one on my shoulder. And I start to go to bed, and that thing's on my shoulder, and I'm uncomfortable. I want to tell you what has to happen. Tim Hall has to do what you have to do. I have to take it to the Lord and yield it to the Lord. I have to bring my care upon him and let him care for me. It's supposed to be at his feet, not on my back. Amen. Cast your care upon me, and I will TLC you. And so we have to give it to him. Same way. I want to tell you, it's simple, but it has to be done. Now, I want to tell you, sometimes pastors are so knowledgeable that when I tell that to a pastor, he'll say, oh, I already know that. I said, yeah, I know you know it, but we got to practice it, bro. You see, the truth don't set you free until you apply it. Oh, hallelujah. If you want to get mad and send a letter here, address it to someone else, they'll read it. I get enough of that. But listen. I'm trying to be funny, but I want to tell you the truth will set you free. But we got to practice the truth. Let me say again what I said earlier. You're as free, or you're just as full of God as you willing to be, as you desire to be, as you're willing to be. Because Jesus never turned off the spigot. Jesus never turned off the spigot. We do. We hinder the Lord. Okay, we hinder the Holy Spirit. We quench the Holy Spirit. He doesn't quench us. It's on full measure with him. How much are we receiving? He says, my burden is light. And listen to this. And easy to be borne. Easy to carry. And so I'm telling you, we ought to be sensitive enough to the Lord to know that when it comes, we feel a burden getting heavy. We need to say, wait, time out. That's me carrying something I'm not supposed to carry. Lord Jesus, I love you. I surrender this to you. Lord, this is yours, not mine. I receive your yoke. I receive your TLC. I receive your care. I receive your peace. I receive your joy. I receive that my hope is being renewed and refreshed. I'm being enriched in you. I choose you over the junk. Somebody say amen. And heaven shouts. Little 3 John 2. And I got just a few minutes. Thank you. Hang on here. Am I right? Yes. Oh, this will be fun. Okay. Little 3 John 2, and I don't have this in your notes. You can write it down. You already know it. But his desire This is God's Father's desire for you. This is Word of God. His desire is for you to prosper and succeed in every way. That's God's heart. And listen to this. And he says his desire is for you to be in good health physically. God doesn't take pleasure in one of his sons and daughters being sick. One of my little grandkids was sick at their tummy for a couple hours. That didn't bring me any pleasure. You know, I wasn't over there saying, what'd you eat? You know. Well, even if they did eat something wrong, it doesn't bring me pleasure. Hey, now listen, he's a great father. I want to tell you, he takes no pleasure in his children hurting or being wounded, being depressed or discouraged or being sick. He takes no pleasure in that. As a matter of fact, Jesus paid the price for us to get free from all of that. And so he wants us to be free. But the primary thing in that little 3 John 2 is this. He says, we know, we're for sure one thing, right? We assume one thing to be sure, that your soul is prospering. And so here's the deal. The first priority is for you to prosper on the inside. Humans have the tendency to focus on the outside. I need that to prosper. I need that to prosper. I need that to be a success. And the Lord says right here on the inside is his priority for this to prosper in your soul. And when we're prospering in our soul, then he says, hey, you can prosper on the outside and even your body's going to prosper. Your health's going to... Is that great news? Okay, I got just a couple minutes. So thank you for hanging with me. We have a great high priest. Your shepherd is also your high priest. And he's a high priest who's full of grace and mercy and loving kindness. Is that right? Is that great? Hey, Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation. But our high priest is one who has been tempted in every respect as we are. But wait a minute, be sure you understand this, yet without sinning. But he has compassion for you. And let me say to you, the stuff that you're going through, the temptation that seems to overwhelm you, and whether it's emotional or whether it's mental, emotional or physical or relationship or financial, I'm telling you, whatever temptation seems to overwhelm you, this is what Jesus says to you in a very personal way. He says, I understand. I understand. I'm for you. I identify. He didn't sin, but he suffered all kinds of temptation without sinning. But he understands. He can identify. He can sympathize. He has a shared feeling of your weakness. You know what that means? Let me tell you what this means. This will help somebody. It means that in your weakness, he doesn't look at your weakness and get offended. He doesn't look at your weakness and get mad. Is that great news? Hey, this is what this is saying. He was all God and all man. He was all God in a human body. And this is what he says to you. He says, look, your weakness, your human weakness does not offend me. Is that great news? That ought to be good for somebody. He understands. And he wants to help us. In your weakness, he says, just bring it to me. This is what you do in your weakness. You don't hide it. You don't run from it. You don't quit. You don't give up. You bring your weakness to him. And when you bring your weakness to him, you know what he does? He's able to take it and show his strength through that. I'm telling you, you would never guess that the guy that you're looking at was actually shy at one time in his life. Yeah. And when it comes to speaking up in class, I'd try to hide behind people and not get called on. You'd never think so, okay? You'd never think that the guy you're looking at right now had so many insecurities, okay? He was scared, all right? You'd never know that this guy would get intimidated. You'd never know that this guy, most of you would never know, that at one time this guy had a temper problem that was uncontrollable. You never know that. But I want to tell you what happens. And it's a lifetime journey of bringing your weakness to the Lord so he can show himself strong. So, look, I know that sometimes we think with a human mind and we make stupid statements that say stuff like this. Well, I just can't do this for the Lord because I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have any skills. I don't have any strength in that area. I just don't know what to do. And heaven is saying, just bring it to me. I'll use you. Just surrender it to me. I'll do it. And you know what we want? We want the world to see his ministry. They've already seen human ministry, and they laugh at it. You know what the world needs to see? Hey, believers that receive. Not achieve. Believers that are willing to step back and see God's works instead of do their works to try to help God. Believers that are willing to step back and participate with the yoke, being in tune. Walking with, going with, turning when he turns, stopping when he stops, going when he goes. Hey, we need to be people in the yoke, the joyful yoke of Jesus. Because they'll look at us and they'll say, wow, that wasn't them, that was God. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of joy about them. Those are the most hopeful people in the world. And I want to tell you, they have such a tree of life about them that you get around them, you're going to eat good fruit. Come on, somebody. That's God's design. That's God's purpose. That's what he wants to do. We recover from a deferred hope, weak, or sick-heartedness by bringing our baggage to him. Here's the secret. Be absorbed in him. Not in your sickness. Not in your past failure. Not in your weaknesses. Be absorbed in him. And you know what's happening when you do that? Without you even knowing it, you're receiving enriching grace. You know what you're full of? And it just kind of dawns on you. You know, you have fresh hope. You have fresh hope. Not even just for you, but you got fresh hope for others. And when people call you and want to complain and murmur and complain and talk about what all is wrong, you know what? You find hope coming out of you. You point them to the joy of Jesus, the peace about what God can do, about what God wants to do. And you have this fresh word for them that exhorts them. I'll be honest, sometimes they don't want to hear that. I run into that sometimes. I had let me mention this in the last minute I have. I had a pastor just recently that told me, don't send me any more fresh bread. I minister to pastors, and I try to encourage them. And a lot of times I do it on Sunday morning, because Sunday morning can be a battle for a pastor. You know, you understand why? Be for any believer, right? Oh, what about pastors? They attacked. And so I'll send fresh bread out. Pretty sweet, some of the responses that come. Boy, that was right now. I needed that. I was in my office struggling. I didn't even want to go out of my office, and that was food for me. That was fresh bread for me. But some of them say, I don't want that. Well, to some people, fresh bread is more like burnt toast. Okay. And I'm not throwing stones at them. You know, they may be eating so much steak, they ain't got time for bread. Right? When you got a big steak, somebody offers you a little bread, you say, I ain't got time for that. And so, no, I'm here to tell you that, you know what, it makes a big difference how you respond. And you can't respond for someone else. You're not responsible for other people's response, but you are responsible for yours. And I want to tell you, heaven shouts because he designed us to receive fresh hope and for our hope to be renewed. Now, right now, in these last few seconds, if you're one, and there's many, that your hope has been deferred, this is a great day for you. Would you take that deferred hope and just put it in a box, and let's just lay it at Jesus' feet. We're going to do it by faith. And we're going to surrender and submit this to the Lord. And we're going to say, Lord, this is all yours. I surrender it to you. The disappointment, the offense, the disturbance, the misunderstanding. Lord, I give it all to you. And Lord, I trust you to renew my hope. Refresh my hope. It's his will. It's what he paid for. And you know what? When you pray His will, you get it. That's Bible. Let's do that right now. Would you join me? Lord Jesus, I just take these disappointments and failures in my life, these discouragements in my life, the calendar that I don't understand. And Lord, I just submit them to You. And I confess by faith that Your heart is for my good, that You have good plans, not evil plans. Plans to prosper me, plans to bless me, plans to help me, plans to use me for Your honor and glory. And so, Lord, I just surrender by faith right now. I surrender these to You. And, Lord, by faith, I reach out to You and I say, Lord, help. Lord, renew my hope. Lord, I receive a fresh touch of godly desire in my heart and in my life. I say no in the name of Jesus to these lying thoughts and these lying symptoms. And Lord, I say yes to Your truth. I embrace Your truth right now. And I say Jesus is Lord. And I receive the fresh touch of Your Spirit in my soul this day. I am blessed. And You have promised that You are chasing me down with Your goodness and unfailing love. And I believe and I receive in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. God bless you. Looking forward to next week with you. Let's all give a praise the Lord. Amen.